intense interest in understanding the mysteries of life and a desire to know and understand the whys and the wherefores of our existence led Richard Andrew King to study the ancient metaphysical science and the art of numerology, exploring, discovering, and validating theories which explain life's mysteries and secrets. His research, experience, and interest in his ancient science and art led him to design a formula of the King's numerology, a revolutionary numerology system of defining, describing, and interpreting those energies and forces which comprise our lives and destinies. He's an author of 4 books in a series called The King's Book of Numerology, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. He's also an author of Messages from the Masters, and he's also an author of The Age of the Female 2, Heroines of the Shift, Parenting Wisdom is another book, Your Love Number, Destinies of the Rich and Famous, The Galactic Transcripts, and many other books. Welcome to the show, Richard Andrew King.
Stephen, thank you. Great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you're very welcome. You've had an interesting life.
I have.
Yeah.
Very varied. But as a numerologist, I can tell you that anyone who has a 5 life path as I do and a 5 expression as I do would also have an interesting life, because 5 is the number of diversity and variation and movement. 5 is the number that is midpoint between the number 1 and number 9. So 5s can move up the scale and down the scale with equal ease. So anyone with those numbers would pretty much have an interesting life as well.
What do you mean by, what did you say? A 5 what?
A five life path. Yes, in numerology, the life path is that number which is derived from the birth date, the day, the month, and the year. The expression comes from our full birth name. And so in each of those two parts of the chart, mine are 5s. And 5, as I said, is a number of diversity and change and movement. So anybody that had a 5 life path from their birth date and a 5 name from their full name at birth would also have a very diverse life as well. My best numerology student has exactly that. He has a 5 life path and a 5 expression also. And he's very diverse as well.
Can you maybe give an example of a 5 life person, man or woman?
Well, you're talking to one.
Okay.
For sure. And if someone were to go to my website, the first thing they say is, as you said, wow, you have done a lot of things. Any 5 person will be that way. So they'll be very diverse in what they do. 5 is a number of stimulation, and 5 people are always on the move to be stimulated by something. In my world, it has been martial arts and numerology and music and spoken word art. I love it. I love all of that stuff, and it keeps me wonderfully busy, and I'm never bored. Any person with those numbers would never be bored. They would always have something that they want to do. So it's really kind of fun. I think it's a great life path to have. The only thing is, it's constantly moving and changing and can make people feel uncertain until they get used to it. It's not stable, like, for example, a 4 life path would be, or a 4 expression, or somebody from their name, or somebody who had both of those numbers, their lives would be more stable and rooted, which is in direct contrast to the 5 energy.
You know, I was just thinking, Richard, from that description, I think today they have a psychological or medical term for somebody who's like that. I think they call it ADD or ADHD, don't they?
Well, I could understand that. I've never been diagnosed that way, but no, I don't suffer from that. But I can understand it, and that's an interesting subject in itself. I think that has to do with a lot of modern day diets and things that we're going through at this time. Because when I was a kid, you never saw people have ADD this as much as they do today. So it's part of our culture, I think.
Well, when I was a kid, they just called that being normal or being hyperactive.
I think so. But it's true. People that have a lot of 5 energy, one of my clients' sons has a massive amount of 5 energy in this time of his life growing up. He's only 8, 9 years old now. And he is always, his teachers can't control him. And that's what happens when we have a lot of 5 energy. It's a hard number to control because it's always moving. And it would be great if teachers and psychologists and people who dealt with people in general studied this science, because it would help them immensely within just a few minutes by erecting a chart after you get the knowledge of how to do it, you can get to the heart of many problems in a heartbeat. It's really a fascinating science. I've been doing this now for 35 years, and it has mesmerized me. It's fascinating. That is numerology, which is basically the science of numeric coding, in which our names and birth dates have a dramatic effect on our lives and destinies.
That's what most of the books are based upon, isn't it? Numerology?
Yes, those are the 10 books I've written so far on numerology all deal with numbers and their relationship to life. You remember Pythagoras, right? We talked about him in
yes.
our previous conversation. And he said, numbers rule the universe. Everything is arranged according to number and mathematical shape. And that was 2,500 years ago. And it really is true. And if I know it's hard for people to understand this, but each of us, frankly, does have a destiny. And in truth, the blueprint of that destiny is contained within their full birth name and their birth date. And by learning this science, it gives us great advantages of knowing who we are, how to raise our children, how to manage our relationships, what potholes to look at going forward so we don't step in them if we can, or at least if we're going to, that we can be ready for them. It's really a fabulous science.
Yeah. You happen to mention Pythagoras, and I can admit to you, Richard, that I took Algebra 1 and Algebra 2 in both high school and college, so I've had both classes twice, and I still haven't used the A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
I haven't either. And I got as far as Algebra 2 as well. And you don't have to be into mathematics to understand numerology. All you have to be able to do is understand what each of the numbers means and how to interpret those numbers and patterns of numbers. So you don't have to be, people say, well, I'm not a mathematician. You don't have to be a mathematician. You don't have to like arithmetic. I don't particularly either. If you can add and subtract, you can do numerology.
Certainly, certainly. I believe your latest book is The King's Book of Numerology, number 4, Immediate Principles.
Number 5, actually, which is IR Set Level 1. IR Sets stand for Influence and Reality Sets, and this is at the crux of numerology forecasting, which I get into in KBN 2, the King's Book of Numerology 2, where I start showing people how to look at the numbers, the influences of numbers, how those numbers intertwine with you, and then what the outcome would be. For example, if let's say 9 people were to go into class and the teacher said, okay, today, class, we are going to be studying space as a general topic. Well, that is what we call the list energies, the lessons, the influences, the subjects, and the themes of that particular class. Now, let's say that each of those people in the class was identified by a different number, 1 through 9, so that one person had a 1 expression from his name, another person had a 2, a 3, a 4, and so on. As that class information, the lessons, filtered through each of those different numbers of people, the outcome would be different for each of them. And by understanding IR sets, then we can understand a whole massive amount of knowledge about our life, where we've been, if we're old enough to look back, where we're going, if we're moving forward. For example, when a child is born, within the first 5 minutes, once we have the full birth name and birth date, a chart can be erected to show us the destiny of that child and where that child is headed in a general sense. And so parents could actually look at those numbers and guide their children. I certainly did with mine, and it worked out well, because each of our lives is different. And one of the mistakes that most parents make, and it's a forgivable mistake because they don't know better, but most parents try to make their children in their own, the parent's image. But that child may be totally different because the numbers may be different. For example, one of my clients was a very well-to-do woman. Her husband owned a chain of very successful businesses across the country. She had a lot of 8 energy in her chart. 8 is a number of commerce. It's a number of business. It's a number of engagement in society. Her son also had a reading with me, and he had a great deal of 7 energy in his chart. And as he came up to sit down to have his reading, and I explained to him what was going on in his life, he emitted a smile from ear to ear. He was so happy that somebody actually knew who he was. And I could tell, looking at him from afar before he came up for his reading, he was very shy, very reserved. And when he sat down and he started to tell me these things, the mother said, oh my gosh, I've been raising my child the wrong way for 17 years.
You understood him, didn't you?
Yes, because of his chart. She did not. And had she known who he was, so many of his issues could have been addressed earlier, and she could have moved him in a direction direction that was befitting him, not necessarily her. For example, I have two children, two girls. One has dominant 7 energy in her chart. The other has dominant 8 energy. One, the dominant 8 energy child, was highly successful in social situations and at school in a social context and a great athlete. The other child was very good as a scholar and has now become a CPA and like that. So I steered them along those lines. I never made my children to be like I wanted to be in my image. I saw their number, saw who they were, and was able to help direct them to become the adults they are today. And I'm happy about that. And they seem to be very successful and successful in themselves and comfortable with who they are, which I think is important.
Yeah. A few days ago, Richard, we spoke on the phone first, and then we jumped up on Skype. I've talked to some people that look into past life regressions and look into people's auras or soul, whatever you want to call it, and see what kind of a person they are, see what they've done in past lives. There are people that out there believe that our souls or our essence can pick our life, can pick our existence, can pick our parents. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I have had past life reading, and for all intents and purposes, I think that they were accurate. One of the gentlemen who gave me a couple of them said that when you see an image, if after you see the image for the rest of your life, you cannot change that image, it probably is an image of some past life that you had. These are what Indian mystics would call sanskaras. I do believe in reincarnation, but the word reincarnation only means to take on another form. It doesn't necessarily mean to take on a human form. And I think many people misunderstand that, because when we study the teachings of mystics and saints throughout time, they talk about the cycle of transmigration, also called chirasi, where the soul can actually incarnate, not just in a human form, but in animal form, bird, fish, insect, or vegetable.
Plant, yeah. Form. I think it's been relatively recently have proved that plants and trees and bushes and whatnot actually have spirits and souls.
They have souls. Everything has a soul, because the soul is basically the divine energy source that is within everyone. It's in every cell of our being. And so, yes, of course, every living thing has a soul, which is one of the reasons I'm a vegetarian. And I think the basis of the main reason of vegetarianism is because we value that life in everything. And by eating plants and animals, or plants rather than animals and insects and birds, we accrue less karmic weight than we would if we ate animals. But that's a whole other subject for another show, perhaps.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. I've, just from my health issues and my physical presence, I think I do need to look into vegetarianism myself.
It's wonderful. I've been a vegetarian now for, oh my gosh, 35 years.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing vegetarians have to watch out for is not to get hooked into the cakes and the puddings and all the sugar stuff. But it is a wonderful lifestyle, not just because of the spiritual benefits of not accruing more negative karma through the killing of other creatures, but just because of the health aspects of it.
Yeah. I've also talked to many different kinds of people in my 2.5 years here. It's also believed by some that we are living in a computer program like Matrix, not so much with the blue lines that resonate up and down somebody's visual path, but there are scientists that believe, well, I think you might have said the other day that most everything is ones and zeros.
Well, computers are certainly built on ones and zeros, and it gets back to Pythagoras' basic statement that everything is based on numbers. Even Newton said, God created everything by number, weight, and measure. It is the perfection of God's works that they are all done with the greatest simplicity. He is the God of order and not of confusion. And in my numerology work, I swear, it's easy. If somebody does not believe in God, for example, but they want to and they have an open mind, if they were to study numerology, they would see that there is such a connection, an amazing connection, accurate connection between our lives and our numbers from our name and our birthday, that there has to be an intelligent power that is driving all of this. It is a power that far exceeds the comprehension of the human mind. And it is that power we call God, for lack of a better word. All of us, of course, are finite beings. God is infinite. So how can a finite being really define God? I don't think we can, but we can see the blueprint of our destiny and how that power works in each of our lives. It's really amazing to me. So it's been mesmerizing me for 35 years now since I started my study.
I think I understand that. You chose at least five times now, I believe, the King's Book of Numerology. Is there any special meaning with Kings? Is that just because of your last name, or is there some other underlying reason?
Thank you, Stephen, for asking that question. It is a great question. The King's numerology, from my standpoint, and I want to make this very clear, and I have in other shows, this is not, I use it eponymously. Eponymous means when a person uses his name to define something.
Yes.
Right? But to me, it is this power. There is only one King with a capital K. Call it God, call it Source, call it Spirit, call it whatever you want. But in my work, I get chills when I see how perfect this power is. So because my name was King, and this power, as I said, well, it works well as a name. It's not, if my name were Hermann Schmeicheldorfer, I wouldn't name this the Hermann Schmeicheldorfer's, you know, Book of Numerology. It just doesn't work. But from a marketing standpoint, it works, and it's easy for people to remember. But nothing comes from me, honestly. It comes through me, and I get that. And so my job is to share this power of knowledge with other people. The tagline for the King's Numerology, by the way, is discovering the divine design of your life, because each of us has a divine design that comes from this power. And there's only one King, as far as I'm concerned, and that is God.
Okay. In your first book, the first King's mm-hmm. Book of Numerology, number one, what is the reasoning of doing that book there?
To get started sharing this information, when I started numerology, I read everything I could get my hands on back in the 80s, the early 80s. I started my adventure in numbers in 1980. I was told by an astrologer at the time that I would be a numerologist one day. That's how good he was. And so after years, I started to write this book in the mid-90s. I had acquired enough information from my own research. The books I was reading early on didn't satisfy my curiosity. There had to be deeper layers of truth through numbers. So before I would teach martial arts in the afternoon, I would go to the library in the morning. In those days, there were no computers. I would go into the stacks and I would research groups of people, because I didn't want to waste my time with this. So I would get groups like generals, famous generals, politicians, singers, writers, people like that, because if numerology were accurate, then there should be common threads through each of those groups. And then I started finding those groups. It's very logical. So this first book, The King's Book of Numerology, is Foundations and Fundamentals. It creates what I call a basic matrix, which is a general personal profile of an individual describing seven basic components. One, the life path. What does your date of birth tell about you? The expression, this is your full name of birth. What does that tell about you? When we combine those two, the name plus the life path, we get what I call a PE, or a performance reality. It is the performance you will give on the great life stage for your whole life. Then we have two layers of soul energy. The soul layers define our deepest motivations, desires, needs, and wants. Those are always the first things I look at in a chart. What does this person want? Because we can't see on the outside what a person is. But when we get to that soul number, which is determined by the vowels in the name, A, E, I, O, U, and Y, we can get to the heart of what a person really wants out of their life. The other two components are the nature aspects. This defines our personality and the way we go about doing things. We can also look at the numbers that are missing in our names. Those are called voids. For example, in numerology, every letter has a number. The letters A, J, and S are the first, the 10th, and the 19th letter of the alphabet. In general, and in simple terms, they all equal a 1. So if a person had no A's or J's or S's in their name, they would have what we call a 1 void. That would create issues and problems with one's sense of self, with one's independence, confidence, courage, willpower, and so forth. So that first book goes into all of that. If someone were to study that alone, and after they got through with it in probably a month or so, within 5 minutes, they could create a basic matrix on someone, as long as they had their accurate natal data, their birth data, full name and birth date, and they could derive a working profile of exactly who that person was. Now, they wouldn't know other things about the life going ahead. That's for forecasting and other things. But for getting a general understanding of a person is an excellent source to start with.
What is the difference between numerology and mathematics, Richard?
Well, not much. Numerology is based on mathematics, but not to the extent that a mathematician would deal with all the formulae and things that he does. A numerologist only needs to understand what the words and keywords for each of the numbers represent and how to interpret those numbers. If a person can add or subtract, then they can do numerology. They don't have to get involved in all of these elaborate formulae that a mathematician would have to be involved with. It's very simple to do. It's not hard.
Okay. Now, that was a few years ago. It's been like, I don't know, anywhere between 5 and 7 years ago now, there was a TV show called Numbers. The main character was a mathematician who used numerology to solve crimes and that. Can a lot of these same things happen, the things that you do?
Yes. Now, I don't solve crimes, but we can see in charts negative situations based on a certain amount of the same energy, which I call stacking, which is a simultaneous occurrence of the same energy in a chart, or linkage. My book, Destinies of the Rich and Famous, features 12 individuals, all of whom are very famous, all of whom we know, and it correlates their numbers with their life experiences. And I wrote that to give people a very easy way to see the connection between numerology and life. Those people, for example, are Einstein, he's in there, Amelia Earhart, Michael Jackson, Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, and so forth. It's interesting to note that when we have tragedies in our lives, very often the number 16-7 shows up in an outcome position, a PE, a performance experience position for those people who understand my work. For example, when Amelia Earhart went missing, she went missing in a 16-7 period. When Kennedy was assassinated, that number was in his chart. Michael Jackson had it during his downfall, and on it goes. So yes, we can use numerology to determine the type of energy that is in a person's life at any particular time. I couldn't use that to necessarily say that somebody would commit a heinous crime. Now, that said, on my site, richardking.net, if someone were to go to the numerology section and then the article section of that, they could read the article on Jodi Arias. And I mention all of the numbers that she had that revealed how dark and negative her life is and was at the time that she murdered her boyfriend. There are a lot of articles on that site that are free that show people the relationship between numbers and life. So yes, numbers can be very useful in revealing what somebody is going through. That's why I say that psychologists, teachers, anybody in the health field would be well served to learn this science, because they could get to the root of the problem within minutes if they understood how to correlate a person's life with their numbers.
I'm not sure who that young woman was you spoke of a minute ago.
Jodi Arias murdered her boyfriend several years ago, and it was a crime of passion. She shot him. She slit his throat. She stabbed him some upwards of 20 times. It was a heinous crime. And those kinds of events are good to learn from because the numbers are so extreme. One of the principles I use in my teaching is this, that if we want to study numbers, we want to study the extremes, what is very good and very bad or very light or very dark. That's how we get to how these numbers manifest themselves. If we start in the middle ground, we're not going to see the disparities and the differences. That's why Destinies of the Rich and Famous uses these 12 people. For example, why was Howard Hughes such a brilliant man? Why was he so accomplished? But why was he so eccentric? You can see that in his chart. Why is Oprah Winfrey so successful in her life? That clearly shows. Same thing for Kennedy. Same thing for Michael Jackson, Muhammad Ali, Albert Einstein. Their numbers all show exactly what was going on in their lives, as it was with then Jodi Arias.
Oh, I see. I think Message of the Masters, Timeless Truths for Spiritual Seekers. That's quite an intriguing title. Can you explain a little bit about that book?
I certainly can. I've been on a spiritual path, it seems, all my life. But this...
In the karate world, right?
Karate is part of it. Karate is a very spiritual art, really, when you get down to it. But this Messages from the Masters, Timeless Truths for Spiritual Seekers, draws from the teachings of 9 perfect saints throughout history. And when we read their teachings, the teachings are all the same because truth is always the same. Truth never changes. And so a saint from the 13th century, for example, will have pretty much the same message to give as a saint from the 20th century. And so in this book, I talk about vegetarianism, That's one of the things to talk about. Talk about reincarnation, transmigration of the soul. We talk about the negative power, what the negative power is, and like that. So that's what it gives. I love that work. I love the teachings of saints because they, to me, are the PhDs of the universe. They have all the answers. I've been seeking this stuff my whole life. And when I came across them and their writings, personal writings, they're not hearsay. These are writings that these people experience themselves. It is a wonderful way to get to what truly is spiritual and what is just maybe delusional. And they break through all of that nonsense. So those nine people, for example, in case someone wants to know, are Guru Ravidas, Kabir, Guru Nanak, Tulsi Sab, Swamiji Maharaj, Baba Jaimal Singh, Sawan Singh, Jagat Singh, and Charan Singh. And they're down the Radha Swami line of saints, those last five, or what is also called the science of the soul.
I think I can truthfully say I've never heard any of them names before.
That's correct, because saints do not advertise themselves. They don't care about publicity. That's not their job. Their job is to go after their marked sheep. God, for example, gives them an assignment. I want you to go hook up with these souls and bring them home. And that's what they do. They don't care about publicity. In fact, before they're to give a talk or something, they'll do something to discourage people from coming because they don't want the publicity. They don't need it. They're not worldly at all. And so I encourage through this book for people that are fed up with the way the world is going to take a chance and read this. But it's not for the faint of heart or the worldly minded. Masters come into this world to sever our attachment to it, not make it a paradise. And that's very important for people to understand. Masters don't come to make us rich. They don't come to make us love the world. They actually come to take us out of the world. That's why Christ said, I do not come to send peace on earth. I come with a sword. That means to sever our attachments to this world and take us up into a higher plane of existence.
Do you have a belief in religion, or do you just mostly have a spiritual belief?
I started with a basic Protestant religion. I was baptized as a Protestant, specifically a Presbyterian. I would go to church every week, Sunday school when I was growing up. And I always felt an affinity to God. But then I started reading the Bible, and then things started not jiving. I wasn't getting enough information. And then when I read John 14:12, which says, "Whosoever believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do," a light bulb went off in my head. I said, how come I was never told this? So I started going on my own journey to find writings of other saints and mystics to corroborate a lot of what the Bible is. A great book. But there are other saints. There's always at least one living saint on the world at any particular time. The world is never without a living saint. And so that's where I just kept going this way and that way until I found the path that I'm on now. And I've been on it officially for 32 years.
Well, I do have a deep belief in God, but I myself, I find it very hard to believe in a church. I don't know. Maybe it's just my cynicism, Richard, but I think, well, man made church. God didn't make church.
Well, but here's the deal. God, the body, for example, is the temple of God.
Yes.
A person does not have to go to a man-constructed church.
Yes.
God is within us, and that's what all saints teach. Don't worry about going to, well, not, you can, for social reasons. Most religions are basically social in nature. They're designed to help people and to teach them right from wrong and as a community effort and so forth. But to get the true spirit, one must go within. That's why Christ says the way out is within us. That's what all saints teach. God is within us. So they teach, especially in what the path I follow, which is science of the soul, how to connect the soul to God. And that actually transcends religion.
Yeah.
God transcends religion. There is religion, but then there is God, and there are higher teachings. So,
well, to be a devil's advocate here, Richard, I think one can be an atheist and still have good morals.
Absolutely. Morals are absolutely.
But, you know, I just don't believe that. Well, I was raised, I think, Presbyterian, and then my mother married a Catholic man when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Catholic, went to catechism class and went to Catholic church from the age of 8 until 18, mm-hmm. until I got out of high school. And then, that was in the late 70s when a lot of the pedophilia scandals were starting to come out. Late 70s, early 80s. And I looked at that and scrutinized the church. I left the Catholic Church, but I didn't leave my belief.
That's right. Well, we can't, because what is that this power is within every one of us. And therefore, again, masters teach us to go within, take our soul and connect it to a higher source. And my first wife was Catholic, and I've been to many Catholic services, so I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I just, you know, it's not that I defend atheism. It's not that I defend Catholicism. I just think morality is from within.
It is, and we all know if we're doing right or we're doing wrong.
Absolutely, from a very early age.
We really do. And so it's fine. But getting back to the atheism part, if people were to study numerology, they would see that there is an intelligence that put all this together. And it is impossible to deny that there is a working intelligence that creates our destiny. And then it's easy to make the jump from, well, I don't believe in God, to, well, there's some intelligence here. So that power, that intelligence, is what we call God. Things are not random. God did not drop us here without a plan. Our lives are destined, saints say, to the breath, to every morsel of food we're to ever eat before we exit our mother's womb has already been preordained. I can't see that specificity in charts, but I can certainly see the flow of people's lives quite easily through numbers. So there has to be some intelligence that is behind all of this. In fact, I often kind of chuckle to myself, because an atheist oftentimes says, well, I don't understand God. And so they're trying to use their intellect to deny a very intellect that created their intellect. So it's kind of funny to me, because there has to be some intellect that created all of us. Nobody created their own atoms in their body, their own molecules, and that all of that. There has to be a power. And it's easy to see it when we study numbers, because they really are divine codes, what I call God codes, labels for energy fields that describe and define our lives, our relationships, and our destinies.
Okay. Explain to me what Kato Ryu martial arts is. You said that's your own brand.
It is called Kyado Ryu.
Kyado Ryu. I'm sorry.
That's okay. There's no worries. It stands for the Karate Institute of America, KIA, Karate Institute of America. The Ryu means family. Do means way. So basically, the Kyado Ryu is the family of the KIA, or Karate Institute of America, way. I was trained traditionally as a Kenpo martial artist, for those people who understand Kenpo, in the Tracy and Parker systems. I'm a second-generation Parker black belt. When I got my black belt in 1979, I started my own business, and then I started to design my own system, because I saw things that I wanted to do that I hadn't been taught officially. So I designed my own system, and that became the Karate Institute of America, or Kyado Ryu. And it's a very diverse system. We do basic karate fundamentals in a medium style. We do hard style, but we do medium. We do street fighting. We do tournament fighting. We do weapons. We do forms, which are choreographed routines. We also have a philosophy that we follow. And it's a wonderful art form. And it's one of many styles in the world. It just happens to be the style that I teach. I've been teaching now professionally for 36 years. I've taught probably 3,300 people. Out of that, 63, almost 64 now have work their way to black belt. So that's about just a little over 2% of the people that have studied have gone that far to a very high level. It takes about 6 years in my system to go from white belt to black belt.
What initially drew you into that?
Well, frankly, I was on my way to Vietnam. I was in ROTC in college, and I was going infantry. And I realized that I needed to have all the skills I could learn to keep me alive. My father had just died over there. He was in the Air Force. His only brother, also in the Air Force, had died just a few weeks before he had died. And we didn't want another death in my family, that's for sure. And especially being an infantry officer, I needed all the things I used. So that's how I got started. But then I fell in love with it. It was just part of me. And so I have just kept it up.
Was it the folklore, or maybe just the mythology of Kung Fu, or do you think?
It's interesting. Kung Fu means style. Kung Fu is a Chinese word. And there in China, there are something, I think, like 1,200 registered styles of Kung Fu.
Is that right?
Yeah. And now the karate styles usually come from Japan, Okinawa, and Korea. They're usually hard style systems. What I teach is a blend of those. And it's just a wonderful method of integrating the body, mind, and spirit. I haven't found any physical exercise that's more demanding. I haven't found any fighting. Fighting is wonderful. It is just, oh my gosh, there's nothing. Your mind is working, your body's working, your spirit's working. It integrates everything into your life. And then there's the philosophical aspect. And it works very well with a spiritual path because there are levels. In order to succeed, you've got to work to get from one level to another. This is not a redistribution of wealth where somebody gets a black belt and then the person at the bottom is crying and whining because they're not good, you know, they're not developed, so they want to take from the higher. It doesn't work that way. Everybody has to start at the bottom, in spite of whether they come from another system. They may be a black belt in another system, which I've had. They start at the white belt level and they work their way up just like everybody else. And then if however far they want to go, they can.
Now, a few days ago, I don't remember what the number was, but you told me if somebody had a certain number, I don't know whether it was 13 or 16 or whatever it was, but you said they should change their name. Can you explain that to me again?
Well, we were talking about Lance Armstrong, I think. And what happens with our names is that numbers create veils of energy. Our basic blueprint of our destiny is based on our full birth name. No question about that. But then we have common names. For example, Lance Armstrong was not born as Lance Armstrong. He had Lance Edward Gunderson, I think it was, was his name, just on top of my head.
I didn't know that.
There's a article on my website you can read about Lance Armstrong, and it goes through this. And in the life matrix aspect of his chart, which shows the flow of destiny in one major aspect, all of his numbers based on his natal name contained an IR set pattern of 999, which is extremely powerful. But the name Lance Armstrong, when combined with those numbers in his life matrix, for those people listening that know this work, his epics, pinnacles, and challenges, they all became a 16-7. And there are 11 of those. And all of that 11 stack, created this massive energy of a fall from grace. The 16-7 in numerology, in my opinion, I call it the great elemental, because it gives on one side the greatest spiritual lessons of all, but on the other side, it can drop us into hell faster than any other number. It creates ignobility or nobility. It could be grand or it could be not. It could be malevolent or benevolent. In his case, it turned out to be benevolent. And of course, all of his doping scandals and things like that, his fall from grace was huge. And that was because of that 16-7. Had he kept his regular birth name, my gosh, it would have been an amazing thing to see. However, it was his destiny that was to happen, obviously. And so that is, so you can go read that article. Same thing with when we look at Jodi Arias. She had a lot of 16-7 in her chart. That's a very difficult number. I have it in mine. And it means that we're going to be spiritually tested. And tested is true. If we pass the test, we can move up. If we fail the test, then we'll move down. But that number is the most trying of all numbers in numerology, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I was just in your article series section there, and I was looking at When Life Changes, number 5, part 1. Mm-hmm. I was wondering what that actually details or what that goes through.
When the number 5 is active in a chart, things change. For example, let's say somebody has no fives in what I call their life matrix, and they get up to their mid-30s, and all of a sudden, they move into a part of their chart that is filled with five energy. It could come from what we call the grand pinnacle. I know one of my clients has a 59, 5 and 9, create 14, 14 make a 5. This person's expression is a 2. The outcome of that is a 16-7. And right when that happened, there was a divorce. There were other things that were going on, a lot of chaos in the life. So because of the 16-7 coming off of an energy that changes, it created problems. Now, it doesn't always create bad things. There could be change, but it could reveal good things as well. It depends on what the outcome energy is. In this particular case, it just happened to be a 16-7. But if that 5 went through, for example, a 7 filter and a 3 were the outcome, then that would be a good thing. That would be communication and writing and using the mind and things like that. But 5 always brings change. When somebody is 50 years old, there will be changes. When they are 59, they will undergo changes. When they are 55, massive changes. That's a double five. Everybody, when they hit 55, their lives are going to undergo some kind of shift. So the 50s decade from 50 through 59 will be a time period of change, of letting go. A lot of people retire at that time. It could be a period of adjustment, things like that happening. It could be fun. It could be adventurous, but there will be changes. As opposed to, example, say the 40s decade, which is about work and plodding along and planning and doing all those normal family things that we do in our 40s.
Well, I hope it is good change for me. It's actually when I turned 50 a year and a half ago is when I started to think differently and started to scrutinize my life and started to look into different areas.
You see how perfect life is, my
yeah,
friend?
Yeah.
And this is what happens when people see this. That's what they go. And they, all of a sudden the light bulbs go off. And they go, wow, this is, how do you know that? Because this is a divine design for everybody's life. And five is diversity, remember. So in this period of 50s, you're going to go through a lot of this. And who are you talking to today? A period, a guy who has a five life path and a five expression. And you hooked up with, when I submitted my bio to the BBS system, you were one of the first people. In fact, you were the first person that contacted me. So your five energy immediately hooked up to my five energy. It's all wonderfully intricate. It's so beautiful. It's astounding how it works.
How does somebody find out what their number is?
Easily. It's a good question. Thank you. You can go to my numerology page. First of all, if you were to buy, and I'm not pushing it, but obviously the King's Book of Numerology 1, Foundations and Fundamentals, goes through how to determine your birthday number, your life path. And then all the numbers that we talked about earlier are in that book. That's what I would reference. Even if somebody studies a different numerology system, they really need, in my system, they need to start at day one because the terminology is different. And it gets very deep if you read the people who have endorsed my work. It's very thorough and it's very deep. And they need to start at book one to work their way up. But on my site, richardking.net, click on the numerology tab, the blue tab at the end, and then go, that'll take you to the numerology section. Click on articles. And then on that article page, there are over 100 articles. And then down in the middle of that, in the aqua color grid, you'll see, what's your life path number? Do you see that there?
Yes, I do. I was going to actually ask you after you get done explaining this, a question about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can click on that and you can learn how to calculate your life path number and then your name number next to it. That's your expression, and go through all those. You can do all that for free. It's just right there if you want to get a little taste of your destiny.
Okay. And I was going to ask, what is the difference between your life path number and your soul number?
The life path number is the script of your life. For example, you, Stephen Roberts, I don't know what your middle name is.
Craig.
Craig?
Yes.
So it would be actually Stephen with a PH.
Yes.
Craig Roberts, right?
Yeah.
So that name will set your expression. That's from your name. And that's you, the actor. Now, when you were born, this life path was set before you. That became the script of your life. So here we have Stephen Craig Roberts reading a script, whatever your birth date number is, and you will give a performance. That's the PE. That's what we see here. It says, what is your role in life? The soul number will define your needs, your wants, your basic motivations in life. For example, let me, if you'll, I've got a little system here.
Sure.
Let me just bring this up and we'll tell you a little bit about yourself. Should we do that?
Sure. Do you need my birth date?
Yeah, let me get the Stephen Craig Roberts first. Make sure I have the spelling right. StephenCraigRoberts, correct?
That's it.
Okay, what month were you born?
April.
So we'll go to April. Okay, and what year?
64.
Okay, give me a moment. Okay, and what day?
23rd.
Okay, well, first of all, the 23rd is a 5-day right off the bat. So your life, just because of that, especially in your early life, would have been very diverse. Okay, now normally I don't do readings like this, but I know you well from talking to you. I usually don't do instant readings because, as I told you a couple days ago, it's important for me to do an entire chart.
Right.
So, but I'm going to explain to you your basic matrix. How's that? Will that be fun?
Sure.
Okay, so let's take your expression first. So that's your name, Stephen Craig Roberts. It's a 6 in simple terms. You have roots to that. The roots are 15, 24, 96, and 222. Now, what this means is that you are a very compassionate person. It's very important for you to nurture others. very good for being a family person. Six is a number that rules the family. It rules nurturing. It rules beauty and all of the things that deal with harmony in life. So especially with the 96, that's going to take you into the public realm, because the nine is the public stage. Six is a personal number of love. Nine is an impersonal number of love. So you have both of those within you. Then your specific number, which I would want you all to always remember, is a 222, which is all about personal relationships. So you are extremely good at personal relationships. And I would defy anyone listening to you, just listening to you, not understand that you are about personal relationships. You have a wonderful resonant voice, number one. You're very caring. You're very nurturing. You're a wonderful host. And that's where you get this six energy from. So that's who what your name is. Now, your life path is a two. You have roots of 11, 29, and 47. This two is all about relationships. So that means in your life, you are going to be involved in lessons, subjects, themes, all dealing with relationships, with other people, with female energy, with learning to balance your life out. The key thing about twos is that they have to learn about balance. You'll learn about the positives and negatives of those relationships. You will also learn about power struggles in there because of that 29 root, which is the most power-oriented binary two-digit number that there is. So you'll learn the good and the bad of both. You'll learn how to be a diplomat and how to negotiate, how to compete perhaps. But that's what the two represents, is others and relationships and female energy. Now, when we add those two together, the two and the six, we get an eight. Eight is the number of commerce. It's the number of interaction. So we know that you are going to be a person who will be engaged your whole life with engaging others. You're going to want to connect with others. Eight is the number of connection, orchestration, communication through personal contact that way. And so you're going to be involved in that part of your life. You have a four soul. So this would be the first thing I would look for first. This comes from the vowels in your name. The four is about structure, about security, which you want. More than anything else, you want a stable, secure, structured life. Now, interestingly, you have no fours in your name, but in your case, it's very good. So normally what would happen is a person with four void would have issues with security, with stability, with things of structure, with work, with service, with those kinds of things. But because the four is in your soul, it helps to mitigate that four void that would normally be there in somebody else's chart who did not have a four void. So it's important for you to have a stable environment. Your material soul is a six. So here, this is going to reinforce your expression of who you are. So you desire and need and want to have a stable home life. Family, love, security are all very important to you. Your nature, your personality is a two. So now we come back to your life path. So now we get back to the fact that you have a personality that is harmonizing with your life path lessons of learning about relationships, but it makes you a very relationship-oriented person. Your material nature is a four. That also comes back to your four soul. So we see that all your numbers are 2, 4, 6, and 8. These are the numbers of the social spectrum. Two is the first number of socialization and relationship. Four is the number of the structure of the relationship. Six is the love of the relationship. And eight is the management and integration of the relationship. You are an extremely relationship-oriented person, in other words. Does that make any of this make sense to you?
A lot of it does, yeah. I don't seek a lot of relationships. You know, I just want to have one long-lasting relationship.
That's right. That's where the security part comes in. Now, if you had a lot of five, see, you would want a lot of relationships because five is diversity, but you don't have that in your chart.
Yeah. I've always, and I still do to a major certain extent, consider myself an introvert. I've always been shy up until 2.5 years or 3 years ago. If somebody would have told me I would have been doing what I'm doing right now, I would have laughed at them. I said, there wouldn't be no way I could be in front of a camera and a microphone talking to people.
Well, two is a number of, when you look at the number one and two, two is more shy and reserved than the number one. And you don't have a lot of that dominant one energy. But I'm looking at another part of your chart here. And your crown pinnacle, which is the highest part of your life matrix, is itself a seven. And that is a number of recession and isolation and being alone. So when you have twos and sevens combined, this is very common for people to be shy and reserved and like that. So you have a blend of both of those in your chart. You also have the two active in your chart, and the three challenge, which deals with communication with the masses, by the way. And that began Well, let's see. Let me go back here. You had an inkling to get started as early as 44, but it's dominant in your
partner. That's right when I started.
There you go.
That's the exact number when I started.
Thank you very much for corroborating that. You see how perfect this is? And you have that for the rest of your life. And the three in your chart goes through your six expression to create a nine outcome. So being involved with the public is very good, and because that's exactly what's happening. So yeah. That's what's going on.
It was the late winter of 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. I actually got my first computer at Christmas 2008. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was just messing around on the computer one day in January of 2009, and I was 44. I hadn't quite turned 45 yet, but mm-hmm. I got the bug. I got interested, and I don't even know what got into my head, but I looked into going back to school, going back to college, and doing something with my life at the age of 44. I've been on disability for 12 and a half years now, and I want to be able to get off of disability, make a living at what I call a hobby right now. Mm-hmm. And I first started out in the IT field, internet technology, but mm-hmm. I soon learned that I was in over my head, and I switched over into communications, which is the precursor for journalism school. Mm-hmm. And that's what I got my degree in, was in journalism.
Well, and that's the three.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting because also in your chart, at the time that three became active as an influence into the public realm, and nine, by the way, is a number of expansion also, your pinnacle, you had moved into a six. And when you add your sixth expression to it, the outcome again is a three. So here we have a massive change and a shift in what you're going through. And by the way, the period from 35 to 43 was a difficult time for you. You had a 16-7. You had a 16-7 energy in that part of your life, which played out into a four, and the four is void. So that would have been the most difficult time of your life there.
Very, very difficult. Yeah.
35 to 43.
Let's see, 16 years ago, I was 35. Yeah, that's when I lost this one job. But, well, it was under very bad circumstances, but how I lost a job too, and it really changed my life and affected my life, and I don't know, it's probably brought me to where I am today.
Well, here, there's, I'd like to give you a couple quotes I think that would be really important. One is from St. Jagat Singh, and he says, or actually Charan Singh, he says, all men come into this world with a destiny of their own, which goes on pushing them relentlessly on the course already marked out for them. And so what happens is, when you were moving into these fields, the energy caused you to take the action that you did. For example, another saint, Jagat Singh, says, our present life is already determined before we are born. What destiny has planned for you will come to pass without any planning on your part. Your destiny will cause you to act and make effort according to its plan. Old age, health, poverty, richness, sickness, disease, wealth, learning, honor, dishonor, and time of death are all preordained while a man is in the womb of his mother. So a wise man never worries or frets or regrets anything.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up earlier, Richard. I've talked to a lot of people that say our lives are predetermined. They're planned out.
Absolutely, to the breath.
Yeah.
And everybody says it. Every religion says it. We could go to, let's say, the Quran says, what God writes on your forehead, you will become. A Jewish proverb is, if a man is destined to drown, he will drown even in a spoonful of water. A French proverb says, he that is born to be hanged shall never be drowned. One of my favorites is from Johann Friedrich von Schiller, who was a 19th century German poet, and he said, there is no such thing as chance, and what seems to us merest accident springs from the deepest source of destiny. Even the Bible says every hair on our head is numbered, and on and on it goes. So yes, we do have a destiny. We can know that destiny if we want to spend the time in learning it, which is why I have written my books, to help people understand their lives so they can get to a place of balance and even expand. And I promise you, if anybody were to study this work, as I have for these years, and my good students that have been studying, it will revolutionize your life. You will never see life again. It will expand it. You will see things that, oh my gosh, how could this be? You'll get closer to this power we call God, because you'll see the perfection of it. Like we just talked about a few of the things in your life that were right on, and I only know that from just pulling up some numbers really quickly on your chart. Because those numbers, those numbers are labels for energy fields. They define and they describe everything in our life without question.
I think I've talked to a lot of people that are into the, what's that thing where people follow the zodiac and the
astrology.
Astrology. Yeah, yeah. They seem to say a lot of the same things.
They can. A good astrologer can tell a lot from your chart. I started out being drawn to astrology because of the astrologer who told me about my life. But then I gravitated to numerology, and I like numerology. And remember, he was the one that told me I would be an astrologer 30 years late. I mean, a numerologist 30 years later. And the thing I love about numerology is that it uses our name, which adds an entire second dimension other than our date of birth. So I just love numerology because of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we are at the hour here, Richard.
Okay.
I want to thank Richard Andrew King, author of books as The King's Book of Numerology, Messages from the Masters, Parenting Wisdom, and many, many more. Do you have any websites or anything besides richardking.net that you'd like to give out? Or any
all
other?
Of them. That is the main portal, richardking.net. There's kingskarate.com. Those are the two main ones. All of my books are on Amazon under my author name, Richard Andrew King. And Stephen, I want to thank you for having me. You are a wonderful host. I wish you all the best and hope we can do this again sometime.
Well, we actually will be. We'll be setting up another live show this next time coming up here. This is going to be on BBS, but we're going to do a live show together.
We'd love to do it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you reaching out, and we'll talk to you then, I guess.
Okay. I'll talk to you for a minute just after I sign off here. But thank you, everyone, at BBS Radio. This is the 15th of November, 2015, and I will see everyone. I believe that's going to be on the 29th next time I'm on. So I'm Stephen Roberts. This is Cancel the Cabal. Thank you, everyone.